Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
You have there in your bulletin, and the kids, you are so welcome to stay here. For our announcements, January 19th, 2026, that will be Monday, it will mark the 40th anniversary of Martin Luther King, and you are invited to give your time in service in one of these partner projects by being a volunteer to food pantry from 8 to 11 in the morning at Whitmore Lake, and a kitchen volunteer from 1 to 4 in the afternoon for CAS Community Social Services. And second of the announcement, this welcome statement work group is part of our strategic plan that is to develop a welcome or belonging statement that quickly lets people know if they would be welcomed and included in the ministries of this church as they are searching for a church home. And there are three listening sessions and that will be held on January 11, 1 p.m. here at Brighton Campus, and then January 20, 6 p.m. by Zoom, and Sunday, February 1 at Whitmore Lake. And then for our third announcement, we have three Bible studies to start the 2026. Let us come and, you know, learn together, grow together as people of God. The book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon will be led by Deacon Loretta and Larry Job. That will be on January 7 to March 25, Wednesdays at 7 to 8:30 p.m. here at Brighton Campus. And Building Beloved Community, that will be starting January 14 to February 11 by Zoom, to be led by Evelyn Redwine and Suzanne Everett. That will help you understand what the Bible says, how to faithfully live and embrace the diversity of God's creation. So that is Wednesdays. And then another study group, I will be your leader. The Disciple Fast Track Old Testament, Tuesdays, 6 to 7:30 in the evening. It will be starting January 27 to April 14 here at Brighton. So I know how busy you are, but as I said, let us have time to learn and grow together as God's people. So it's my joy to lead this study group. You can approach me and any of the workers here, the pastors, the deacon, if you want to sign up, and thank you.
Well, I was going to sit here, but there's more of you than I thought there would be, which is awesome. I'm so excited. I'm Susan Kimball. I'm the music director here, and I don't very often get up and talk in front of people. That's not my thing, but today we're going to learn a little bit about some Christmas songs. Okay, there are about 9,247 Christmas songs. The word carol originally meant to dance, or indicated the song to be danced to. So the music itself tends to be a bit simpler in nature and used as the vernacular language of each country rather than the Latin of the ecclesiastical church. The first Christmas carol came around AD 129. just 30 years after the death of the Apostle John. That's when they kind of started celebrating Christmas. The Bishop of Rome at the time, Telesphorus, decreed that in the holy night of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior, all shall solemnly sing the angel's hymn. The lyrics, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests," come from Luke 2:14. The earliest carols were written and sung in Latin, making it difficult for many to understand them, and therefore less popular. However, in 1223, St. Francis of Assisi began his live nativity plays. Touches my heart. Since 1223, we've been doing live nativity plays. In caves with live animals. How cool. And songs and canticles sung in the language of the people, watching the story of Jesus' birth. This helped the new carols spread throughout Europe. Not everybody has thought well of carols. In the United Kingdom, Oliver Cromwell outlawed the public singing of carols in 1644. He banned Christmas celebrations also. Most continued singing carols in secret, so these songs survived. In 1660, the restoration of the British monarchy abolished all legislation enacted from 1642 to 1660, so Christmas was once again celebrated with feasts, festivities, and carols. In the church where I grew up, in Lansing, every Christmas Eve, the first song sung is O Holy Night, and that is a time when they, when it's dark and the choir processes in with candles, and we light all the candles in the church. And so this is like a really meaningful song to me. I don't do the same song every year on Christmas Eve, but occasionally we do O Holy Night. So the story of this, from its unlikely composition by a Jesuit-educated leftist French wine merchant, Placide Capiot, Midnight Christians, that was the original title of the song, or O Holy Night, tells us the story of Christ the Redeemer, born to rescue all humankind. Christ the Savior comes to a world mired in sin, brokenness, and betrayal. His creation was then set to the music of the composer Adolf Adam. Since Adam was Jewish and Campeau was a socialist, the French church leaders officially distanced themselves from the song. But people continued to sing it. And in 1871, on Christmas Eve during the Franco-Prussian War, a French soldier ran out of his trench, unarmed, and began to sing this carol. So, as you know, there's another story about a Christmas carol that is similar to that. I was surprised there were two stories like that. Silence fell, and when he finished, a German soldier came out and sang a favorite German carol. A Christmas ceasefire followed. The song found new life when American minister John Sullivan Dwight translated it into English. A passionate abolitionist, his version gave the carol a deeper meaning. So as you listen to the English words, you know, be listening for that. In 1906, O Holy Night made history again by becoming the first song ever to be played on the radio. So I'm going to sing this for you as we light the candles today.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, Christ stand. So led by light of a star, sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from the Orient land. The king
we come to you, O God, in humility, recognizing your Holy Spirit in the midst of our worship. Fill us with your presence and help us to see and understand your will. Fill our hearts with your love so we can love others as you commanded us to. Be with us as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so the next song I have, you're going to sing. So did everybody get a handout of Do You Hear What I Hear that has the words on it? Okay, this is not a song that we have in our hymnal, but I really love this song. This dramatic carol was written in 1962, so it's not so old, by husband and wife team Noel Regney and Gloria Shea Baker. While the song is now a standard nativity piece, its urgent, solemn tone was a direct, deeply political response to one of the most terrifying events of the Cold War. Regney, a Frenchman who had served in the resistance during World War II, and Baker, an American, were deeply disturbed by the events of the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, when the world teetered on the brink of nuclear war. Regney wrote the music inspired by the sound of baby carriages being wheeled down the street, and Baker wrote the words, which use the nativity story as an allegory for world peace. The song's structure, starting with a humble conversation between a night wind and a little lamb, escalating through layers of military imagery, a star with a tail as big as a kite, and a shepherd boy telling a king of the terrifying sight, was a thinly veiled plea to world leaders to stop the escalation of conflict and heed a message of hope. The song was explicitly created to communicate a powerful anti-war sentiment during a time of profound existential crisis. So, we can sing, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" I just love the words of this song, too. Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you hear what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star dancing in the night with a tail." Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea. A voice as big as the sea." Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, "Do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold." Said the king to the people everywhere, "Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light." Right, so we're going to sing Silent Night next. So usually we sing Silent Night at the end of the service, right, on Christmas Eve. So I thought we'd sing it at the beginning, because now our baby's already been born, right? We already had our Silent Night, but it's still an awesome song. There are lots of stories around Silent Night. Many of them are not true. Many of them are urban legend, but they're still cool, right? So the words were originally written in 1818 by Austrian priest Joseph Mohr, and music by his organist friend Franz Guber. The story of the church organ being broken and them composing the song on the spot is disputed, right? That's probably not a real story. But they did debut the song at a Christmas Mass at the St. Nicholas Church. I love that, because my youngest son, well, his name is really Nicholas, even though he goes by Leo. But at the St. Nicholas Church, with Joseph Mohr singing, so he studied music. He was a priest who had studied music. And Franz Gruber accompanying on the guitar, which is very sweet. They used the guitar a lot in those days, so this wasn't like an odd thing, as people think it is. Silent Night has a rich history as a simple, humble carol, but its most powerful story occurred during World War I. This is a true story, and you probably have heard this story before, but I think it bears repeating, where it played a central role in temporarily stopping the carnage of the Great War. The song's profound historical power was demonstrated on Christmas Eve, 1914, during the Christmas Truce, along the Western Front in Flanders, Belgium, where millions of men were locked in brutal trench warfare, the fighting temporarily ceased. Accounts confirm that the truce began when the German soldiers started lighting small candles and singing Stille Nacht, Silent Night, across the desolate no man's land. The peaceful singing prompted British soldiers to respond by singing the English version of the carol. This moment of shared humanity led to soldiers emerging from the trenches, exchanging gifts like cigarettes and chocolate, burying their dead, and even playing games of soccer. The song's message of peace literally crossed to the trenches to stop the mechanized slaughter, becoming the defining soundtrack of one of the most remarkable, spontaneous acts of peace in military history. Then we travel ahead to the 20th century, when Bing Crosby started recording carols and Silent Night was first brought to the secular radio world. He didn't want to record it at first. He thought this was a little blasphemous to record this song, but he thought it belonged in a church. But his brother convinced him to give the proceeds to an orphanage in China to poor children there, where he was already doing some work to help them raise money. So we're going to sing Silent Night. So I'm going to sing one verse of Silent Night in German. If you know the German, it's in the hymnal. It's on 239, so the German is in there. The German won't be on the slide, but the German will be in the hymnal. And then we'll just sing verses 1, 2, and 3 after that in English, okay? So if you know the German, sing it, or if you don't, just fake it. You can sing along with me.
Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht, alles schläft, einsam wacht, nur das traute heilige Paar, oh, der Knabe mit nackigen Haar, schläft. Glory.
Our scripture reading will be taken from Psalm 148:1-14. Praise for God's universal glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord.
So everybody say it. Praise the Lord. Ready? Praise the Lord. I love that. Okay. So our next song is also very familiar, The First Noel. Originating in Cornwall, a county in southwest England, The First Noel came about during the period that led into the Renaissance, during the 13th or 14th century, when miracle plays, again, plays, some of the earliest forms of theater came about. So did you know theater started in the church? It's really cool, yeah. The plays portrayed famous Bible stories, and the story of Jesus' birth would have been amongst the most popular. The First Noel is thought to have originated from one of these miracle plays. Perhaps a carol was written for a play or simply inspired by a play. Either way, it took on a vibrant life of its own beyond the stage. Citizens of Cornwall would sing the carol in the streets outside of churches, and in the unique and beautiful song would latch on to all who heard it, its melody bringing joy, its lyrics bringing hope. The First Noel survived and spread across the earth for centuries before being first transcribed in 1823 and published in a collection of carols called, simply, Some Ancient Christmas Carols. This inspired Davies Gilbert and William Sandys to breathe new life into the ancient song, constructing a new arrangement and adding new lyrics. So that brings us to the song that we have today. This song is a testament to the fact that no matter what the earth looks like, no matter how much time passes, the encouraging story of Jesus will always connect with the hearts that are desperate for him. So The First Noel. If you want to follow along in the hymnal, if you're a harmony singer and you want to follow along, it's on 245, okay? Certain poor shepherds in fields as they I think we only have two verses on the screen. So. Okay, our next song is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I love this song. My favorite Christmas carol is actually Angels We Have Heard on High. But that one just doesn't have a great story. So I didn't pick it. But you'll notice that we almost always sing it on Christmas Eve. Because what I notice is that the little kids can sing the Gloria part. They don't have to know the words. They can sing the Gloria part. And I just love to hear the kids singing the Gloria. Okay. So this is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. One of the most rousing and triumphant carols of the season, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, is instantly recognizable by its upbeat tempo and majestic, cheerful melody. Yet, its original musical and lyrical intentions were far more solemn, reflecting the seriousness of its theological message. The lyrics were written in 1739 by the Methodist founder, Charles Wesley, brother of John Wesley, so we had to have a Wesley hymn in there, right? Wesley, a classical scholar, had specifically instructed that the words should be sung slowly in a minor key, grave and solemn tune. The original version was considered a devotional hymn of worship and contemplation, not a joyful celebration of the Nativity. The opening line that we all know and love today was not what Wesley originally wrote. His original opening was, Hark, how all the welkin rings, which means the heavens, how the heavens ring. In 1753, preacher George Whitefield changed this to give us the memorable and slightly more singable line that we sing today, Hark, the herald angels sing. The lyrics were not set to the now famous melody until 1855, so like 100 years later. I mean, that's just a lot to fathom that these words and songs have lasted for so and been popular for so long that 100 years later somebody takes it and says, let's put a new tune to that song, you know? So the musician William H. Cummings adapted the second chorus of Felix Mendelssohn's Feistgesang. This piece by Mendelssohn was written to commemorate a German celebration of the printing press, okay? So Mendelssohn's music was expressly written not for a sacred text. He specifically said, nope, this is not going to be a church song. He explicitly stated he didn't want it ever used with religious words. Despite both Wesley's and Mendelssohn's intentions being overruled, the marriage of the powerful lyrics and the joyous music created one of the world's most enduring and recognizable Christmas anthems. So this is 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Okay? Yeah, let's stand.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. See mild God and sinners reconciled. Thank you.
Let us all pray. Most precious God, we come to you, for you deserve our highest praise. We praise you because you're so good in so many ways. We praise you, Jesus, because you came to the world not just to fulfill the will of the Father, but to bring the best gift for us, the gift of salvation. We thank you, Jesus, for your saving love and for loving us so dearly. The year is about to end, and we want to thank you for all the blessings, provisions, guidance, protection, and healing. For every sin that we have committed and omitted, forgive us, Lord. Help us also to be forgiving to others and do not look for someone to blame to. Help us to walk and live accordingly so we can start another year pleasing you, Lord. Be with us, with our family, with our friends, with your church. May we always feel your presence in us. In this moment of silence, Lord, help us to recall your goodness, your love, your care, your forgiveness, and your very presence in our lives. We know, Lord, that you are just a prayer away. We want to continue to come to you like how you want your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May I ask the ushers to come forward? Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are so blessed that this church has a growing ministry. Your giving, your offering provides opportunity to continue and fulfill its ministry. Continue to be part of the fulfillment of church vision by responding through your generosity. Amen.
All right, so the last song that I'm going to bring you is Carol of the Bells. And my daughter just insisted that I bring this because she heard this story and she wanted me to tell this story. And so we sang this on Christmas Eve as a prelude song, so we have a few of our choir members here who are going to sing it for us. But first, let me tell you the story about this. Carol of the Bells is a popular Christmas carol which is based in the Ukrainian Christmas celebration of Shidrik. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. If you're Ukrainian, maybe you can tell me. The music for the carol comes from the song written and arranged by the Ukrainian composer Mykola Leontovich between 1901 and 1916. English language lyrics were written in 1936 by the American composer Peter Wilhowsky. Okay. The original Ukrainian folk story relayed in the song conveyed good wishes for the coming new year. That's why I thought we'd do this last because this actually was originally a New Year's song. Which prior to the introduction of Christianity likely was celebrated in Ukraine in February or March with the arrival of swallows or with the spring equinox and the coming of spring in April. The original Ukrainian title translates to the generous one, or is perhaps derived from the Ukrainian word for bountiful, and tells a tale of a swallow flying into a household to proclaim the bountiful year that the family will have. After the introduction of Christianity to Ukraine and the adoption of the Julian calendar, the celebration of the New Year was moved from April to January. So that's how it became more associated with Christmas, because it was sung, you know, for the New Year. Leontovich wrote the tune for the song while he was living and working in Pokrovsk, which is in eastern Ukraine, between 1904 and 1908. My grandfather lived in Ukraine at that time also. and they emigrated during the Bolshevik Revolution, which was at this same time. The song was first performed by Ukrainian students at Kyiv University in December of 1916. So at the time, the Ukrainian leader was Simon Petlura, and he was not unlike the modern-day Zelensky. And as I was reading this story, I was thinking, well, I'm sure Zelensky knew this story, and maybe he thought of this also because there was also now, in the last few years, a touring group in, that toured around the world singing these songs, especially Carol of the Bells. So the Ukrainian leader at the time, he wasn't an actor in his first life, but a journalist and a critic and also a music lover. And like Zelensky, he knew that it was hearts and minds that would win his war, not just guns. So he decided to send a choir around Europe singing Ukrainian songs to people who knew nothing about their country. If people could see that Ukraine had its own culture, its own history and music, if they could feel how deep that history was lodged in their hearts, then maybe they would help. Carol of the Bells was first introduced to Western audience by the Ukrainian National Chorus during its 1919 concert tour of Europe. The tour was organized as a way to generate support for the fledgling independent nation of Ukraine, which had declared its independence, but which the Bolshevik government in Moscow refused to recognize. The 80 singers of the Ukraine Republic Capella traveled hundreds of miles west, often on foot, to the Ukrainian border, past checkpoints and broken railways, and 3 months later, in May 1919, they made it to Prague, where they gave their first performance. As the choir arrived in Paris in November 1919, so about 6 months later, the Ukrainian army back home was surrounded. A year later, the choir made a decision. Unable or unwilling to return home, they left the continent and headed off, pioneering and alone, to America. So they brought this song to America. So this is still, I think, a plea for people to know Ukraine as Ukrainians and Ukraine as an independent country with their own culture. In 1936, Wilhousky arranged the melody with new lyrics centered around the theme of bells because the melody reminded him of handbells, which begins, "Hark, how the bells." His adaptation is now strongly associated with Christmas because of his new lyrics that reference bells and caroling and his line, "Merry, merry, merry, merry Christmas," that's in the song. So we're going to have everybody come up that's singing, and we're going to sing Carol of the Bells for you.
Hark, how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, that is their song, with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pound, raising the sound, o'er hill and dale, telling their tale. Carry the ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. On they send, on with a tent, their joyful tone to every home. Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, that is their song, with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pound, raising the sound, o'er hill and dale, telling their tale. Gaily they ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. On they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home. On they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home. Ding dong, ding dong.
So, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you.
And so, we're going to be going into the other room for a wonderful meal together. And I've been asked to say a prayer of blessing over that, so I'm going to do that. But first, isn't it amazing that our music director, after all she's been doing, has pulled together this service and given some of the rest of us a chance to relax? Hasn't it been? Let's thank her. All right, let's pray. Oh, loving God, here on this last day of the year, We thank you that we can be together. We thank you that we can sing Christmas carols and understand a little more about where on earth they came from. We thank you for the hands that have been out in the other room putting together the meal for us. We thank you for the gift of food, the gift of life, and most especially for the gift of your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now, Pastor Hazel is going to do the benediction.
Brothers and sisters, in Christ, we have come here to worship. Let us depart to serve. May God's blessings be upon you now and forever. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.